the doctrine of the first century church. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. I'm sorry, let's do our questions first. I saw some of your books and you've got them all filled in there. I love these lessons. They're excellent lessons. Excellent opportunity for the Lord to speak to our hearts. Monday, what did the first century church continue in? Mrs. Raver? Okay. And they continued steadfastly, first of all, in the apostles' doctrine. In the apostles' doctrine. Then fellowship, then breaking of bread and prayers. Paul said that Timothy had faithfully known what? 2 Timothy 3:10. Timothy had faithfully known what? Tracy. Paul's doctrine. And then there's a big list after that, but he knew Paul's doctrine. And of course, that doctrine is the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's word. Pastor's got that Bible reading thing going. He started it Wednesday night. Man alive. We picked up, we're in Kings, I think we are. And man, it's where Josiah, it's where they find the script, and he reads it, and they repent. Wow. What a blessing that God's word is to our lives. Thursday, what is the source of our doctrine? Wait a minute, did I miss Wednesday? Sorry. Okay, concerning what prophecy is given in 2 Timothy 4:3 concerning the attitude of people towards sound doctrine? Ma'am? That's right. They will not endure sound doctrine, but they'll get teachers. Because they have itching ears, they're going to heap teachers that will not preach doctrine to them, but will preach a lie, preach things that tickle their ears. What is our source of doctrine? Ma'am? Okay. Two parts in that, verse 16. What is the source of our doctrine? The quote in Scripture is, "His that sent me," and that's the Lord Jesus Christ talking there, "is His that sent me," which would be God the Father. And then in verse 17, the second part of that question, how do we know His doctrine? If any man will do His will. If any man will do His will, if we obey God's word. Matthew 16, Mark 8, three types of leaven did the Lord talk about and warn His disciples to be aware of. Beware of. Okay. Now here it has three actual exact names, and then you describe what they were. The names then were Kelly, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and Herod, and the doctrine of Herod. Right. Okay. All right. There was a contention between two brethren in Galatians 2, 8 through 14. And those two brethren's names? Everybody. Paul, Peter, and Paul. Okay. Okay. And if there is a contention, if someone is wrong in the word, we got to approach them. We approach them lovingly, but we've got to approach them. It'd be horrible if you let me stand up here week after week and say something that was wrong. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't do that. You'd have to take me off the side and say, "Brother Raver, I don't know what you're thinking, but God's word says this." And I go, "Oh, my. Thank you for telling me and not let me stand up there and say it over and over and over." God's word is amazing. It is amazing how no matter where you are in each of your individual lives, we'll all crack God's word open, and it can be to the same place, and yet God will speak to each of our hearts. as we live in obedience to Him, His Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit revealed God's word initially, will reveal God's word to us. Will reveal God's word to us. Okay, Acts chapter 2, Acts 2:42. Bring your limber fingers today, I hope. Today it seems like there's a lot of passages, and I'm not just going to have certain people read them. I'd like to actually go to each passage with you so we can look at them and consider them. Acts chapter 2, we'll read verse 41 and verse 42. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful that it meets the needs of our lives. It's so amazing how we can open your word and how you speak to our individual need. Lord, as we obey you, your Holy Spirit will reveal your word to us. Lord, pray for Pastor this morning as he's preaching at the chapel, and then for safety as he comes over, Brother Justin. Pray for your word this morning as it's being proclaimed in pulpits across America, that indeed your word is the answer for America's woes. Lord, help us to pray for our nation. Help us to love our nation. Help us to fight for our nation in proclaiming your word to mankind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice what God's word says there in Acts 2:41 and 42. The Bible says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Is it possible that we can have the same doctrine that the first century church had? Yes, it is possible. We have the same doctrine. The Lord has preserved his word for you and I today. The Lord has preserved his word. We have that same doctrine. The sole authority for our faith and practice is the word of God. Because God's word liveth and abideth forever. We can know the doctrine of the first century church, and we can continue in that doctrine in this present hour. What mankind needs to see from you and I is they need to see us continue in the faith. They need to see us proclaim God's word before them. I spoke with a gentleman at work a couple days back, and he was talking about his brother being a Jewish, what do they believe in the Messiah? Messianic Jews. Okay, thank you. And his brother-in-law was one, and we were talking, and it gave me a good opportunity to explain to this young man, not that I know everything about a Messianic Jew, but because he apparently believes that Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah, and I says, what this is about, because he's a Roman Catholic. I said, what this is about, it's not if I'm a Jew or if I'm a Gentile. It's not what church I attend. I said, what it's about is what do we do with Jesus Christ? And I had a good opportunity there just to say, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I scribbled some verses down for him on a 3x5. He's going to look at them this weekend. And I says, if you wouldn't mind, hand this to your brother-in-law, if it would not bother you. Because the reality is there's no more Jew and there's no more Gentile. Because once we repent of our sins, trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're a new man. We're a new man. But it just gave me an opportunity there to share that Jesus Christ is the answer. In fact, I picked up another memory verse this week. Romans, in fact, you probably know it. Romans 10:12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And I wrote that verse on that card with some other verses. It's just amazing how God's word will meet the needs of lives. My prayer is that as he reads through God's word and he looks at those verses this weekend, that they'll reach the mark. You and I have many opportunities. We rub shoulders with the world every day. We have those opportunities. We need to get God's word in the lives of other people. Our doctrine or our teaching comes from the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy 3:15. If I mix up my first and my second, tell me, okay? Because when you do that, you just don't have the right verse. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We are singularly held accountable with the responsibility of being the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. A couple pages back, 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtst to act, behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You and I as a church are the pillar and ground of the truth. As we take God's word into the world, this is where the world is going to know about Jesus Christ. We are warned in 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And certainly many churches are doing that, because that brings people in and people bring money in. And it's not the churches are so worried about doctrine. They're worried about numbers and bank accounts and other things like that. But we need to contend for the faith. We're warned that the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine. Many people today have de-emphasized doctrine. However, we must keep the sacred trust that has been committed to us. When we come to this church, although music is certainly important, very important, fun, we like fun. Of course, we've heard Pastor preach about fun. But when we come to church, what it's about is it's about doctrine. It's about God's word. That's what it's about. We should express the truth of God in the very words of Scripture. We should always express the truth of God in the very words of Scripture. The closer we stay to this book, the more accurate we will be in our statements. Our faith is a treasured heritage. It is not a contemporary experiment, as it appears to be in many of our mega churches. Christ has given us a body of doctrine. The Lord gave the apostles his doctrine. They taught it to others, and those that they taught it to others. The Bible says clearly that they continued in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2:41. And they made very sure that they got the teaching correct and clear. Notice what our Lord said of his doctrine in John chapter 7. In verses 16 and 17, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. God has revealed his word to men who were moved along by the Holy Spirit. God continues to work that same way today. As you and I obey the Lord, he opens up and enlightens us to the truths of his word. So God is still working the same way as we obey him, that the Holy Spirit moves us along in our understanding. The amazing thing is, we can know this doctrine. You and I can know it. There doesn't have to be a clergyman that knows it, and he tells us, you and I can know it. We have God's word. Christ gave it to his disciples, they gave it to others, and finally someone gave it to us. We must give it to others just the way that God brought it to us. We must give it to our children. We must give it to our grandchildren. We must give it to those people that we rub shoulders with every day. Sunday school song, Do You Know a Christian? You're a Sermon and Shoes. You guys sing that? You remember that one? Okay, do you know Christians? You're a sermon and shoes. You're the only sermon that many people may ever hear. You're the only Jesus they may ever see. You may be the only opportunity of them to see Jesus. You're a sermon and shoes. So walk it and talk it and teach it and preach it and know it and show it and live it and give it. You're a sermon and shoes. Ladies, are you preachers? You better believe it. You're out there preaching God's word. Somebody's hearing it from you. Now, you're not going to stand up here at this pulpit. I'm not saying that and preach to us. But certainly, we are sermons and shoes. We need to tell others, those that we rub shoulders with. Corrupting influences are always at work. Take note of the parable that the Lord Jesus gave in Matthew 13. In Matthew 13, the Lord there talks about the leaven. The Lord Jesus warned of three types of leaven during his ministry. The leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Luke 12, the leaven of the Sadducees, which is false doctrine, one being, what is that? No resurrection. Okay, excellent. Very good. And then the leaven of Herod, which is worldliness. Herod's family, of course, the ruling family, had the wealth, was in power to set up any religion that he wanted to set up for his family. There are many corrupting influences at work today. Many people will try to water down God's word. There's many Bibles out there, they're not even a translation. Just somebody writing, hey, you know, I think this would be good to write. Man, this is God's word that they're doing that to. My, I'd be scared to death. I'd be scared to death. There's many corrupting influences. We might have to stand up against them. Someone might not like it when we do. But it's doctrine. It's what you and I have to, we have to pass this on to the next generations. Satan seeks to corrupt the truth by adding to it or by presenting only a part of it. In the Garden of Eden, yea, hath God said, you won't surely die. Well, no. No, she didn't die physically that day, did she? Not that day, but mankind did die physically that day. But it would be eventually. But yeah, just change it a little bit. Just change it a little bit. And somebody says, well, why are you such a stickler about, why does it have to be? Because that's what the Bible says. Because that's what the Bible says. We have got to stick to it. We must adhere to the doctrine of Christ and compassionately warn against those who do not. Is it unloving of our pastor to stand up here and say a man's name that is handling God's word wrong? Is it uncompassionate of him? No, it certainly is not. He has to contend for doctrine. He has to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto him. And you and I must do the same thing. Then contention sometimes arises even among brethren. In Galatians chapter 2, we read of two prominent men, Peter and Paul. There was contention between them. In Galatians 2, 11 and 14, we read that Peter was not walking according to the truth of the gospel, and that Paul indeed rebuked him for leading others into error. Paul rebuked him. He said, "Brother Peter, I don't know what you're thinking. The other day you were eating with these guys and your brothers with these guys, and today you won't even go around them because somebody else is here and you're worried about what the other person would think." Of course, that was a good time for Peter to learn and understand. Then as we contend for doctrinal truth, it must be done in every generation. Don't let it said that you and I were not contenders. Don't let it be said of us that we were not contenders. Be a contender for the faith. Be a contender for the faith. If we're going to have a first century church, we must have first century doctrine. Turn with me to the book of Jude. Three Johns, Jude, and Revelation. Didn't know the song. Jude 1, 2, 3, and 4. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Beginning of verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares. And you know, when Paul was talking to the Ephesians, he said, even from this organization, we need to stand for the truth. The church that has traded truth for pleasure has become a great harm, and it's hurting the world. What is happening to the next generation? Nothing is worse than a generation of children with no faith in the true and living God. For it is not, fun is not the goal. God and his truth is the goal. While we still have the joy of the Lord as our salvation, truth must be passed from generation to generation. That's our job. That's our responsibility. And our final statement, we need to stand with convictions bathed in compassion. Let me say it again. We need to stand with convictions bathed in compassion. Father in heaven, you loved us so much, you sent Jesus Christ to die for us. Lord, might we love a lost and dying world. Lord, help us to proclaim your word. Help us to walk before the world. Might we be true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.